Have you ever had a conversation with your partner where you feel like you'd finally talked something out, you'd finally made it clear to one another?
And a week later, you're in the same frustrating situation thinking, why did nothing change?
You're thinking, didn't we already talk about this? I thought we figured this out.
If that sounds familiar, the issue may not be communication per se.
It might be that you and your partner don't have clear, explicit agreements.
And here's the twist. Most couples feel like they have talked about things and they're on the same page.
But what they really have is vague agreements with no clear expectations.
And that's what leads to confusion, frustration, and that feeling that you're carrying more than your share in the relationship.
Or even worse, that your partner just isn't showing up and isn't meeting your needs.
In today's episode, we are going to walk you through those unspoken expectations
and turn them into clear, workable agreements that create safety and connection.
So instead of fighting with each other or feeling confused, you actually feel like you're working together again.
So stick with us today. We're going to give you a clear process to build these agreements that make your relationship more secure and more loving.
Welcome to the Relationship Innovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we are moving into part two of our series of implicit versus explicit agreements. And today's episode is titled, How to Create Agreements That Actually Work. And so I think it's important to just jump back to last episode that came out, which was all about implicit agreements, right? And maybe Tara, can you give us a little, what is an implicit agreement?
Implicit agreement is basically an unspoken, Captain Obvious, you should have known expectation that absolutely sets each other up to fail consistently and then creates very poor communication patterns and expectations that will never be met or identified.
And repetitive arguments. I mean, that you just end up in same arguments around the same topics. We also, in the last episode, we really gave you like, what are those key characteristics so you can really put your finger on them? What are the key characteristics of an implicit agreement? We also described the damage cycle that happens within your relationship when there are implied agreements instead of very clear agreements.
And we are hoping, if you did listen to the part one, that you were able to do the exercise at the end where you can identify those unspoken agreements, or again, I call it Captain Obvious, which is not so obvious, and that you were able to really identify them and hopefully talk to them about your partner so that you can listen to today's episode, right? Because we're going to show you how to come up with explicit agreements that work for the both of you. So today, our goal is one, to create safety, which creates connection. We know that when we say safety, we're talking emotional safety. And two, to correct the belief that you have a communication problem when you actually have an agreement problem. Yeah. Like, I love that line. You don't have a communication problem, you most likely have an agreement problem. Yeah.
And this really came out of, I mean, we have to give credit where credit is due. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Stan Tatkin on. Mm-hmm. He's one of our mentors in the field. And he talks a lot about like that healthy relationships are built by making agreements with your partner, explicit agreements, and then holding to them.
Honoring them.
Right? Honoring them. It builds trust. It builds connection, right?
So it builds teamwork.
So we did a great job, I think, last episode of really talking about implicit agreements. Today we're moving into explicit agreements. And the first thing is we just want to like clearly define what that is, right? An explicit agreement is an agreement that is clearly spoken. Like you look at your partner, you tell them, this is something I need or something I like or something I would prefer. You know, you're letting them know exactly what it is. Then you mutually agree upon it. Like that they look back and say, okay, like I know exactly what you're asking and I'm willing to do that.
Or it's collaborative and you guys get to the point where you make that agreement together.
Yeah, because a lot of times they're kind of morphing out of an implied agreement. And so you're coming together to make the agreement. And what they do is they turn like assumption and a lack of clarity into alignment, right? Explicit agreements create alignment within your relationship.
So key traits, again, for explicit agreements, they are named. They are identified. They are understood and agreed upon, and basically through collaborative effort from the both of you. Agreed to, and then you're revisiting them. It's not like just this one-time agreement. Like, you're always going to come back and make sure you're like, it's still working. If it's not working, you can change it up.
So in a few minutes, we're going to spend a good chunk of time helping you create these explicit agreements together, and then helping you also make them work and continue. But we thought, like, the first thing is we'd like to share about an area where we used to have a lot of implied agreements. And believe me, we'll use this phrase again, progress, not perfection. Mm. We're still working on this, but it's helped us. And if you've listened to our podcast a lot in recent, is like, you know, we've struggled around like financial stuff together.
Yeah, my implicit, right, unspoken, Captain Obvious was like, we're okay. And if we're not okay, EJ would totally tell me.
Yeah. And we've learned that we needed to make explicit agreements around that. So instead of it being like that, you know, Tara's implied agreement that like everything is just okay, and my implied agreement that like I got to figure out how to make things okay, that didn't work for us. And
it
broke it down and it kept us in cycles of disconnection and honestly just not efficiency or making good decisions together financially. And so what we've done now is we've created really explicit agreements. And this week, I think, is a little bit of example of it, is like we don't make big decisions that have financial implications without both of us knowing like exact numbers,
all
right?
All the numbers agreed upon where it has to be before we take this risk or any of that.
Yeah. And so this week, like what we did is we sat down, and actually Tara was the one where she broke down the numbers around some business stuff. And then we shared them. We made sure that we were on the same page with it, that we were working with the same set of facts. Mm-hmm. And then we made a decision together, right?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, like, it feels a lot better.
And you know what's crazy as you're talking, because again, right, in the part one, the implicit, it usually comes from like trauma, childhood, family of origin stuff. And like, I've always been one to like not, like, we were very poor, right? Did not have money even for food. And I didn't learn about how to be financially, like, manage my money. I just knew I had to like work always since I was a little girl to like eat. So like when I got into this relationship with you, I was like, oh my gosh, finally, like, I just need someone to take over my financial stress. Like, I just wanted it so badly to not feel financial stress anymore. So I didn't want to look at our bank accounts. I just wanted everything to be okay. And it's almost like I was trying to soothe my early childhood trauma around financial resources by putting it all on you, right, unconsciously, and that didn't work. So it wasn't that we were doing this on purpose and having these implicit agreements because we were trying to hurt each other. Mine came from like a source of suffering.
Yeah.
And yours.
And mine came from like, I don't know, like, it was a few things like layered together. It's like, yeah, guilt, like that I just like, I wanted to be all those things for Tara, and I didn't want her to stress about money. And then also like some of my just, like ruthless optimism or something, or maybe even keeping my head buried in the sand at times, and not wanting to let her down, you know, not wanting to let anybody down, you know.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is like these qualities have a way of blending well together,
right,
in a dysfunctional way, right? And they both clearly came out of our own systems. But by going through the process we're about to describe to you, we now have a better system than the one that we came to through a lack of agreements.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have to look at numbers and I have to like be an adult, and it's okay.
I have to be willing to like bring up a conversation and maybe even cope with letting you down or cope with just stressing you out with the situation.
Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this. Okay, so let's get into explicit agreements and how to make them, yes?
Absolutely. So this exercise we're going to give you is actually, it overlaps a little bit with the last episode as well. So you can kind of come out of last episode and slide it in here, or this can actually sort of stand alone in both identifying the implied agreement and creating an explicit agreement. Because last time, just to go over it again, we helped you identify the implicit agreement. We helped you look at the origin of it, like where it came from, and then shared your unvoiced expectation for your partner. So they knew, like, hey, I had this expectation you would do this, but I never really told you.
Yeah, we never agreed upon it. Okay, so acronym, CLEAR. And guess what the first C is? Clear. Where are we clearly stuck? Where do we get stuck over and over, whether it's finances, which was us, chores, parenting, emotional support? You want to really get clear on where you're stuck, where you might have unspoken agreements, expectations that are just not working.
Yeah. And as we go through this, we're also going to give you like a little case study, right? As we're going through.
Ooh, yes.
With a prior client and a couple and something they worked through. So CLEAR, where are we stuck over and over? This couple was stuck around jealousy and social media use, right? And looking at people of the opposite sex, basically. So after you discover what is stuck, then you locate the hidden expectation. What did I expect, but I never clearly said, right? And what we helped this couple discover was that she expected once they got married, he would stop liking pictures of girls on Instagram, right? But she never told him, hey, now that we're married, I don't want you liking pictures of girls on social media.
Yeah, and he was really frustrated because he's just like a very social person and has a lot of friends and he's in that kind of industry anyway. So he's like, I've always done this, even when we were friends before we even got together. And like, basically, I had no idea that that was the expectation and he thought it was crazy.
Yeah. So then, before we get into any sort of like solving the problem or making changes yet, we want to express without blame. That's the E, express without blame. I realize I had the expectation that, but I don't think I clearly said it. So in this case, it would be her saying, I realize I had the expectation that you would stop liking pictures of other women on social media, but I don't think I ever actually clearly told you.
Yeah. And then, well, so we've done C, L, E. A is the next. A, agree together. What would work for the both of us? What agreements can we make around, you know, where we're stuck that would feel clear, that we're both willing to commit to, that, again, they're realistic as well.
And this is where it could get hard. And perhaps totally. Like this couple, for example, they needed help getting through it. Like some yes. of these, you know, if it's about housework, right? If it's like about, like, I need more help around the house, that might lead to less conflict. But there are some areas yes. of setting realistic agreements together that could be really hard.
And I remember this with this couple. This was a few years ago. The agreement was because he's like, I've always, like, I have a ton of friends on this. Like, I'm always liking their post. I want to be like their, you know, cheerleaders and blah, blah, blah. And they came with the agreement that, like, he can like other people's post as long as it's not like a sexy post, like a woman in her bikini, because, right, the partner would feel like she wasn't enough and whatever. So I remember they had this agreement. They were able to, like, you know, it was hard to get to it, but that was enough for her and that was enough for him.
Now, this next part is when you begin to start making these agreements that are realistic, that work for both of you, they have to be the R. They have to be recognizable. And because this is so important, because if you can't see it, if you can't measure it, it's not an agreement. So I want to give you two examples here. I need you to be more supportive.
Cool.
Yeah, not specific enough, not measurable, right? Now, instead of that, it might be when I tell you I'm feeling overwhelmed, I need you to ask me what I need,
yeah,
right? Because that's measurable, right? If somebody says, well, you just weren't supportive like I asked you to, because I asked you to come to me and check in and see if there's anything you could do to help me if I'm feeling this, right? That's a measurable way. And then on like the housework, I need more help around the house. Again, like not specific enough.
Uh-huh.
I need you to do dishes on weeknights, right?
Yes.
That it's clear, right? It's measurable.
Yeah. Recognizable. Okay. So I'm hoping everyone's following this acronym CLEAR, C for clear, L for locate the hidden expectation, E, express without blame, A, agree together, make sure you're doing something that works for both of you and that's realistic, and R, it's recognizable, and it's basically quantitative.
Yeah, and then if you want to go the final route, and it's not if you want to, it's like you need to go the next step.
Yeah.
Once you've created an agreement together that's realistic, that's recognizable, that's measurable, then you have to consistently revisit and repair, right? Because you want to ask yourselves, if we make this agreement around money, about checking in around money,
about like, household chores,
yeah, how are we doing? Because the idea is progress, not perfection.
Yes.
That's a huge one. Tara says that to couples all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because if our expectation is that once we talk about that explicit agreement, that our partner just never gets it wrong from that point forward, it's going to be problematic. But if they do it one out of four times after doing it zero out of four times, that's progress, right? So you're revisiting it also because maybe the agreement you make wasn't realistic and you're realizing and you need to shift it slightly.
And I do want to say, especially early on when you're making these agreements, you're supporting each other and reminding each other because it is actually new behavior. Like I know that EJ took over bathrooms every other week and it's not like his like, oh yeah, this week I get to do the bathrooms. So I like gently remind him like, oh, hey, EJ, this is the week that you have to do all of the toilets.
Yeah.
And instead of like it, you know, me nagging you and like, is it going to get done? Trust you. He knows that he agreed to it. And so I don't think me reminding you hurts.
No. And I want to like maybe like just real quickly, I know we're wrapping up here, but I want to talk about like especially those things that are more emotionally based, right? Is that something Tara and I worked through was like Tara had this implied agreement with me that I would be able to support her in ways that I struggled to for a long time. Right. Around like when, you know, when
I would get anxious.
Yeah. When she'd get anxious, when she'd feel, maybe even just feel hurt by me. But even though it was hard, we made explicit agreements slowly where she would literally say, like, I need you in this moment to walk up to me.
Yeah.
To put your hand on my shoulder and tell me I got you right now. Right. And that was measurable for me. And I didn't make...
Even though you didn't want to come near me.
Yeah. Well, and I had
avoid
to...
conflict.
Even though like I would make the agreement, okay, I'll do that. I also had deeper work that, you know, that I needed to do and around like, what's that resistance? And so part of making these agreements isn't just making them, but then each individual person looking at like, wow, what are my obstacles to meeting that person's need?
So I'm going to, in the next couple of days, so when this comes out, I'm going to create a worksheet for this and we will have it on our free Patreon membership for anybody who wants to, because this is going to be so helpful for so many people. I love this. It could even be really useful for your teenagers, right? Because they're at the point where you're trying to get them to be autonomous, think for themselves, have their own sense of agency. This could do a lot of great work around your teenage children.
Absolutely.
I know.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been excited for these two episodes for weeks because we think it's so important. There's so many times that you make implied agreements early on in your relationship where you just think your partner is going to figure things out and they don't. And what we've learned is the more we get really explicit, the more we really name things that they're specific, that they're measurable, that we both agree on it, it builds confidence, builds happiness. I know like some of the stuff that we've like gotten through in the yeah. last like recent, like 6 months,
yeah.
year, like we are doing really good right now. Like we laugh more than we've laughed in yeah. a long time.
Well, you know,
we're playful.
You know, it's so interesting because I don't know how, if you're listening, like how many episodes you've gone back, but we started our podcast in 2018. So like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like when we didn't have all of these things ironed out, but we knew they were important, but we were still like, and now it's like, oh, like I don't get angry at you anymore during podcasts. Like, because we talk about this and we
because we made explicit agreements that we were going to prepare for these.
Yes.
Yes. That we'd talk about it ahead of time. Yes.
We used to just do all these things like just spontaneously. And I would be like, oh, EJ, my brain needs to have like structure and. Yeah.
Now you like laugh and
I wonder if people could follow our progress through just listening from like 2018 to now.
Yes.
Anyway,
okay. We've come a long way, babe.
Well, thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing from you. If this was helpful, if you could review our podcast, share it with someone you might think this could be helpful. We absolutely love that. We love when new people find us, especially through referrals. And as always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain, me and you, we are the same.